today on Bound for Success, I'm delighted to be here with Naomi Elliott, General Manager at Concept Labs Australia. Thanks for joining me, Naomi.
Thanks very much, Lucy.
First up, I'd love to hear a bit about Concept Labs.
Yep. Well, Concept Labs is a family-owned business. Mum and Dad started the business about 22 years ago now. So being a family business, I have worked in it on and off ever since I was 13. Did after school, before school, holidays, weekends. So I've been in the business for a long while. But I did start full-time in the business about 9 years ago. Since then, we've had quite a few changes throughout our direction of the business. My husband also came on board about 5 years ago, so he's our operations manager there. Very family orientated, so my son works there on weekends and school holidays. Great. And I've got my nephew working there now, and I guess just other mother and daughters from other different family. We're just very family orientated type of business.
Fantastic.
So we're a contract manufacturer of topical skincare products, cosmetics, cleaning products. So we can manufacture any creams, liquids, oils, or gels. We've got two arms of our business. So one, we've got our own portfolio of brands that we sell domestically and internationally. And we also contract manufacture for other large multinational companies with their own full range of products, either under our own formulations or under theirs.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Great. And so how big is the organisation? How many employees?
Back in February, we had 8 okay. employees. We now have 34. So
wow.
We had a huge growth over COVID.
Okay.
And we've expanded to new premises as well. So we had one in Warana where we did all our own bulk manufacturing and filling off on site.
Sure.
We had all our storage there. In July, we moved into a new premises just around the corner, still in Warana. But we've got our production facility there, and a majority of our storage is over in
the Terrific,
room.
Yeah.
So it's basically tripled our capacity in the last 3 months.
Okay. And where have most of those roles come from? So that expansion, like what are all
yep.
of those additional staff?
Actually, fully across the board. So I've got a couple of our staff have been promoted to management. So
okay.
where my dad stepped away from the business, so he's okay. pretty much fully retired. He
mm-hmm.
still comes in daily and throws
so
his weight around.
Things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Barks orders, leaves again,
yeah.
causes drama.
The way retirees should operate.
Exactly, yeah. So that's Dad's role. Mum's very much still in the business, so she does long hours. She's a bit back of the house, all our financing
okay.
Part of it. So previously where it was my husband, Perry, and I and Mum doing all the management roles,
mm-hmm.
I have got now 3 managers in place underneath us.
Great.
We've probably doubled our admin team. So I've got full-time in purchasing and 2 admin instead of the 1. A lot of our production, the actual bulk manufacturing was done predominantly by my husband. And that's been taken over by 2 roles.
Okay.
And then we do have quite a lot in our production team as well.
Great.
So we were, if we had, big orders to do, we were all on the production line, Mum, I, Perry, and ourselves.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
now we've got staff in place to do that, we miss out on all the fun.
Yeah. I'm sure you can still find your way in there if you need to.
Yes, we do get in there occasionally.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good to hear. So we've talked about, being a very family-oriented business and
yep.
And that it's your products are all Australian-owned and made.
Correct.
And we had a chat about this a little earlier, which I find really interesting in terms of what that actually means.
Yep.
Given that in Australia we do, receive a lot of imported goods and things, and what does
Correct.
That actually look like within Concept Labs?
Yep. So Australian owned, we're all family owned. There's no foreign ownership in the company at all. So it's all mum and dad. With regards to made, all our products are made here on the Sunshine Coast. A lot of our packaging is sourced locally as well. We do import. There are certain things that Australia just either can't make or can't make competitively, especially for our markets with the imports and free trade agreements that we've got with certain companies. So there are some kind of packaging that we do import, but during COVID we have had to branch out and find alternatives to what we were previously doing before. So there was global shortages of all types of bottles, packaging, caps, pumps. We had great difficulty sourcing those. So we have managed to bring a few more items back onshore that we were importing previously. With regards to more raw materials also, we do try to source them as local as possible. So we do try to start at home. Our hand sanitizer range, our ethanol is sourced locally here in Queensland. A lot of the raw materials are grown. Our aloe vera is grown up north, so we purchase from there. So wherever we can, we try to source locally. There are certain raw materials that Australia just can't produce, but they are quite a small percentage in the scheme of things. So yeah. As far as Australian made goes, in comparison to some other stories that you have heard, we are a high percentage are Australian made.
Yeah, terrific.
And sourced.
And, you know, and obviously as we chatted about a little earlier too, that COVID has really kind of raised that question about where a lot of our, you know, goods and, you know, where our products and things actually come from.
Correct.
And that in your world, particularly in the hand sanitizer, that, you know, everything in that area has just exploded in the last, you know, throughout 2020. Yep. And what your experience has been in that.
Yes. So when, I guess, as COVID started, we did see a huge spike in our hand sanitizer sales. So it was a secondary product to us prior to COVID. And pretty much overnight, our emails and phones just exploded with regards to hand sanitizer. So in March, we did about 3 years worth of sales in March alone. It continued to increase throughout there. I guess the media did push that whole where is it coming from, wanting Australian made. I have found a big shift for that. So I guess consumers are wanting to know where their products are. However, I have noticed a lot since then that there is a lot of imported product. So our Australian market has been flooded with a lot of imported product, I guess, to try to keep up with the demand. So it is a little disappointing that a lot of consumers' focus was where it was that we're wanting to support Australian made, to now a lot of companies, multinationals, that all have excess stock of imported hand sanitizer, basically, that they said they're not going to move in 12 to 18 months.
So yeah.
It is quite disappointing for
really
Australian manufacturing.
So yeah, I suppose it is a really good reminder for all of us that you know, no matter what else is ending up on the shelves now,
Correct,
in greater volumes, that we still just really need to be keeping an eye out to make sure that you know, we're educating ourselves so that we know that where our products come from, and obviously to be supporting locally as well. And we're really lucky to have you guys on the coast. So it's a really good reminder to keep an eye out for that. So also wanted to talk about your partnership with the University of Queensland in terms of your research innovation initiatives. So can you tell us a bit more about the R&D side of the business?
Yeah, sure. So it was the PhD industry program a couple of years back. They ran having PhD students come into your company to help, I guess, further their education also, as well as utilising them. So it was about 3 years ago we partnered with UQ, and we've had 3 UQ students through there that have helped with the research and everything through that.
Right.
So that has stopped this 2020, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we are looking, our meeting last night actually, to restart that program. I've got a full-time chemist that is was associated with UQ as well, so he's looking at bringing that back. And we're also looking at trying to develop a relationship with USC, being a little bit closer to home.
Yes.
Yeah. The reason UQ came about was because they've got the pharmacy college down there, at Pace, so they're a little bit more aligned with where our company is. But USC still have quite similar programs, similar facilities that we're looking at trying to utilise.
Excellent.
The machinery needed for testing, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars for it, and we use it half a dozen times a year, so it's really not feasible for us to do it. But we are quite big in trying to focus with developing that relationship and being able to help students come in and experience that kind of real world program.
Yeah.
So give a bit of give and take and having that there. So
definitely
it's our goal for next year, is to try to develop that relationship with USC a little bit more.
Great. And does that have the potential to then translate into career opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. So out of the actually, it was three students that we did. Two of them commenced employment with us. One was there for 2 years. She's since moved on to teaching. But, yeah, we did employ both of them that came through through the business. So, yeah, most definitely an opportunity for it there.
Cool. What are other changes that the business has implemented or the way that things were approached this year when everything changed so rapidly?
Yes.
What happened?
It's very hard to tell what happened. It was all very much a whirlwind. The team were great. We were working very long hours. So my husband and I were there 12, 14-hour days just trying to do that. So we've got picking up and trying to go back and uncover what actually happened throughout this time. It was just a single swim kind of just let's just get through today.
So
we're just going back and I guess deconstructing what actually happened over that period of time, what we could have done better, what we're going to do going forward. So back to, I guess, more the Australian made, our biggest lesson out of that is difficulty. So we had a lot of difficulty sourcing our packaging. Even once we came back to local, I think a huge percent, I don't know, but there's not too many packaging manufacturers here in Queensland.
Okay.
So our main manufacturers come out of New South Wales and Victoria. And when they had the global crisis, the government in each state, as even now with the borders, as you can tell, they look after their own. So we had a lot of our main ethanol supplier at the time was in New South Wales. We didn't get supply for over 6 weeks because the New South Wales government is just saying, look, stop. We've got to look after ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Same as happened with bottles. So one of our major bottle suppliers has been commandeered by the New South Wales government until March next year. So they can't produce for anybody else. And that's just a complete overnight. You can no longer get your bottles from here. So you're scrounging like everybody else, trying to find new suppliers, So our signature bottles of shapes or anything like that just kind of went out the window. We're just like, we'll take whatever we want, whatever we can get our hands on. So we decided throughout all this that there has to be a different way to go. So we've started researching and we've actually just got a grant to a research program into creating our own bottles from scratch.
Great.
So we're looking at getting blow molding machines so that we can make it here on the coast.
Okay.
Hopefully even from recycled plastic. So we're doing a bit of research into that to recycling our soft plastics into bottles that we can then reuse.
Okay.
So it's not a project that will happen overnight, but it's a project that we're working on going forward.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, a come out of COVID that we want to try to create that circular economy here with regards to our packaging and recycling what we can from that.
Terrific.
I guess a bit more on staff, making sure we've got the training processes in place, because with 8 staff, we didn't really need to have too much of a training program in place, but jump up to 34 and you do need to have
different
that accountability
story.
In there.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're just going back, making sure they're all in place and that we're all on track with all of that. So
great.
Yeah.
Excellent. And are there any learnings in there that, you know, if something like this was to happen again,
We have actually tried to unpack this. What would we do different if it happened again? I think as a team we have reacted pretty well. The consumers' habits have changed, businesses' habits have changed, and I myself don't foresee it going back. They're just going to continue reordering hand sanitizer as part of their consumables. So it has allowed us to grow, increase our capacity, get all new machinery. So we've got new machinery that arrived last week and we've got more coming in next month that has allowed us to then, I guess, play with the bigger boys. We've got the capacity there to do it, whereas before someone say to me, can you do 200,000 units? I'm like, not really, foreseeable, no. Whereas now I can. We've got the capacity to do 20 to 30,000 units a day.
Okay.
So we've been able to increase that during COVID. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's really good. So I'd like to just hear a little bit more about you personally and how you have you've obviously sort of worked your way through through the family ranks to get to where you are within the company now.
Yeah.
But can you tell us a bit about your like school and university and really what drove you to stay within the family business?
Yeah. So I was a finance and insurance broker at a motorcycle dealership here for 13 years.
Okay.
And throughout that time, I was studying part time as well. So I did a dual degree of law and business finance, as well as being a single mum. And then I guess at one point in time, it just all came too much for me. And I quit my job and I got a scholarship to study overseas. And then I came back. So once that study finished, I came back to Australia and I went, well, I don't know what to do now. I quit my job of 12, 13 years.
Yes.
Mum and Dad hadn't had a holiday for a very long time. They just wanted to buy a caravan and travel around Australia. So I said, look, you get your caravan, go away. I'll look after the business for 3 or 4 months and go from there. And I haven't left. I could see where we could take the business. So it has taken quite a big shift in the last 4 years about what direction and what we've done. And I've done a lot with exporting over the last 3 or 4 years, which has been exciting. Yeah.
And do you think that if you had kind of gone from school to uni and straight back into the family business, do you think that your passion and drive for it would be the same?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, I did work on and off for the business.
So through your working life and personal life, who would you say your mentors have been, had a significant impact on your
It's going to sound real cliche, but definitely Mum. She's just been, I guess, incredible, and I don't know how she does it. I've only got 3 children. She had 4. And she's done the business all her life. So she'd, I don't recall her ever not being at home, but I know she works really, really hard. She just explained that she just spent that time with the kids, which is, I guess I try to juggle with, but doing dinner, kids, and then she'd start working at night when she went to bed as well as school. So I guess, and she's been just, I guess, a huge support network for me as well and how to, always got my mum speed dial and, I don't know, just settle down, just do this, just forget about work for a while. So it's, it'd have to be my mum.
Oh, that's so lovely. Yeah, no, she sounds so like cool. She's been, personally and professionally a huge influence.
Definitely. So mum and dad have always had their own businesses.
Yes.
So it's just always been the norm for me to get in there and help.
Yeah, great. Well, that's really good. And so how do you, or you've talked about, your mum striking that balance of always being everywhere she needed to be. How do you strike that balance with your own family?
I actually asked my family this question last night and I I didn't get too good a response. At times I think I'm nailing it, and then other times I'm like, what am I doing? Again, support network. My husband is amazing, and being a family business, it is great to have that support there. I have got my stepdaughter working with us as well, so she helps out with the children, and my in-laws are great with them as well. We do have a rule: Wednesday night and Sunday night are our family dinner night. So I think it's important to have that particular one and make sure my son's everyone's home Sunday night for family dinner, and then again on Wednesday to break it up.
Yeah.
Because we do work late Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay.
A bit of that. We've been going through house renos as well amongst all of this, which has been
excellent.
I don't know what I was thinking. It just kind of one thing led to another, and done a full reno of the whole house. So to get our weekends back would be good. I started making a list with the kids of stuff that we want to do. So we weren't really having an outing. I work Saturdays and then my husband has to do housework on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of like the kids just moving along. So we're trying to, as of next month, starting one outing on the weekend.
Yeah.
It's been challenging.
Yeah. And through COVID, how did you manage all of that with kids being home and
my children have been in family daycare since they were little. Mm-hmm. So Neek just feels like part of the family as well. So she's been a great support. My daughter started prep this year and then obviously was off prep with COVID, and she homeschooled her. So she it was only really my children and hers that went to Neek's house. So I pulled my son out of the centre. He was doing both, but during COVID I pulled him out of the centre, so we created our own little bubble basically. So the kids went to her house.
Great.
Because being in central service, we did have a supply contract with Queensland Government as well.
Yeah.
So we still had to.
It was a really crucial time for you.
Yeah, it was. So it was great to have Neek stay open and the kids, and they both flourished being there. She loved being homeschooled. She did an awesome job of that.
That's good.
Yeah, we were quite lucky.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So I'd like to turn our discussion now to leadership, and you're obviously in a senior role within a rapidly growing company.
Yes.
So how, like, can you tell me about the challenges and triumphs, you know, about your journey to a senior position in Concept Labs?
HR, I guess, has been the most challenging one for me. I haven't had too much to do with it before, but I guess neither has Mum, so we're learning together.
Yeah.
I had done throughout my uni degree, and before that I did a diploma of business management as well, so I had learned different things along the line. I guess I'm a bit more of inclusive, kind of asking everyone's ideas.
Yes.
Being their friends. I'm not I guess it can be to my detriment, but not a real hard manager, but it seemed to have worked. A few of the staff that we did employ during COVID haven't worked out. We're big in making sure that they fit as part of the team. They may have the skills, but if they don't fit with that family unit that we've got, then we really need that kind of everyone to be on the same page, everyone to be happy with them.
Yeah.
I guess leading by example, asking questions, involving them all.
Yeah, definitely.
It seems to have worked so far.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that, yes, people feeling as though they have the opportunity to have a bit of a say, or, you know, that the leading by example is so important.
Yes.
That, you know, if you expect a lot from your staff, that they can see that you put in just as much, if not probably more.
Yeah.
It's certainly much easier to take them on the journey with you.
Yeah.
So, that's great. Well, it sounds like a lovely environment to work in, and lots of food,
which is... We do.
Always important.
We celebrate our triumphs.
Yeah, that's right. The best way. So just a few other little kind of random questions around you. Do you have a morning routine?
Actually, this is what I got the most feedback from with my husband and my son last night.
Okay.
So I read the question. I said, "What is your morning routine?" And they almost spat out their food laughing. So, no, I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
I do work late.
Yes.
So, I've never really been a morning person, but my morning routine, I guess, involves rolling over, and my husband has made coffee and it's sitting beside the bed. I have my coffee and get up and get ready for work and go. He's great with getting the kids ready, doing the lunches, everything like that.
We all have our strengths.
So mornings are not my strength.
You flourish later in the day by the sound of things.
Nights I do well. My husband's definitely the one that keeps the household together in the mornings.
So it sounds like a good team effort. Makes it all work.
Yeah. I'm lucky the kids do continually ask for dad to take them to school. They want dad to do this, dad to do that. I'm going, great.
So they know dad can do it.
Yep.
That's great.
Exactly.
He's proven himself. He's earned his stripes.
Oh, sorry. They really want to go with you this morning. You're going to have to take them.
Yeah.
Sure, that works.
Yeah. Awesome. Best piece of advice you've ever been given?
The best advice, I guess, more so from my mum, again, is just say yes, we'll work out how to do it later.
Yeah, okay.
I guess that's something we do really work with at work. All my meetings, I tend to say, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. I go back to the office and say, right, I've said that we can do that. Let's just work out how we're going to do it.
Okay.
I guess that's how we've continued to grow so much, is that we just say yes and work it out later.
Yeah.
So we are getting that printer to go up in our boardroom. Just say yes and we'll work it out later.
Nice. Yeah, okay. It's like that all the people further down the chain don't necessarily do too much of that.
No.
Cool.
Yeah.
Favourite book?
I don't actually do too much reading. My relaxing time is more so Netflix, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah. What's on Netflix at the moment that you're loving?
Well, we've just finished with Netflix, so I'm looking at The Good Wife. on Channel Access.
Yes.
Very old series that was on TV before.
A long time ago when you had to wait a week.
2013, 14,
for an episode.
Exactly. So, yeah, my husband and I are both into that one at the moment. We're halfway through those ones. I do quite like those legal dramas. So this was one of our favourite ones as well. But, I do love books and I keep buying them. I've got my office is full of a whole heap of books, but I haven't read too many of them, unfortunately.
It's just getting the time or dedicating the time.
Dedicating the time, definitely, I do find myself, I start, I read a page and I fall asleep and I have to reread that page the next time and I keep falling asleep.
Doesn't make for great progress.
No, it doesn't. No. But at least with the TV, I'm not too bad with that.
Yeah. Well, and it's something you can enjoy together.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's doesn't require too much energy.
No. Yeah, that's good.
Any special skills or interesting things about you we should know?
Not too much. I was up until I got married and had the young children a few years ago into ballroom dancing. So I've done my medals for that.
Yes.
I do love dancing.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So where on the Sunshine Coast can you do ballroom dancing?
I did up at Templeton Studios up at Umundi.
Yep.
So a number of years ago I did all that. Fantastic. So I got up to my silver in Latin and ballroom. So I did that. I did a lot of that when I was younger.
Great.
And went back and did that before. But I need to find another hobby to do at the moment. My focus has been mainly on work and home. And I think that has, I guess, when you said about one of the mistakes, that I have not actually made any time for me this year. I was quite ill end of last year or 12 months ago.
Okay.
It did take me 6 months to recover.
Okay.
From that, and I guess from that, I said, look, I have to spend more time with just me. I think any working mum will have a very similar story.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm going to try to focus. Every year I've had that as my New Year's resolution. It gets to
end of the year
and I haven't done it. So yeah, it is something I quite want to do.
Yes. Well, it sounds like that's, a fair priority to focus on for the next little while. No, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Naomi, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you.
And, we're all best to you and the team.
Thank you very much.